loved knowing that. A man who knew that knew everything he needed to know about people. Currently, he was sitting alongside the bench, on which lay what was still technically the trembling body of Brother Sasho, formerly his secretary. He looked up at the duty inquisitor, who nodded. Vorbis leaned over the chained secretary.
"What were their names?" he repeated.
"Don't know."
"I know you gave them copies of my correspondence, Sasho. They are treacherous heretics who will spend eternity in the hells. Will you join them?"
"Don't know names."
"I trusted you, Sasho. You spied on me. You betrayed the church."
"No names.
Truth is surcease from pain, Sasho. Tell me."
"Truth?"
Vorbis sighed, and then he saw one of Sasho's fingers curling and uncurling under the manacles, beckoning.
"Yes?"
He leaned closer over the body. Sasho opened his one remaining eye.
"Truth?"
"Yes?"
"The turtle moves."
Vorbis sat back, his expression unchanged. His expression seldom changed unless he wanted it to. The Inquisitor watched him in terror.
"I see,"
said Vorbis. He stood up and nodded at the Inquisitor.
"How long has he been down here?"
2 days, Lord.
"You can keep him alive for
perhaps 2 days more, Lord?"
"Do so, do so. It is, after all," said Vorbis, "our duty to preserve life for as long as possible. Is it not?"
The Inquisitor gave him the nervous smile of one in the presence of a superior whose merest word could see him manacled on a bench.
Yes, Lord."
"Heresy and lies everywhere," Vorbis sighed, "and now I shall have to find another secretary. It is too vexing."
After 20 minutes, Brother relaxed. The siren voices of sensuous evil seemed to have gone away. He got on with the melons. He felt capable of understanding melons. Melons seemed a lot more comprehensible than most things.
"Hey, you!"
Brother straightened up.
"I do not hear you, oh foul succubus," he said.
"Oh, yes you do, boy. Now, what I want you to do is..."
"I've got my fingers in my ears."
"Suits you, suits you. Makes you look like a vase. Now..."
"I'm humming a tune. I'm humming a tune."
Brother Preptil, the master of the music, had described Brother's voice as putting him in mind of a disappointed vulture arriving too late at the dead donkey. Choral singing was compulsory for novitiates, but after much petitioning by Brother Preptil, a special dispensation had been made for Brother. The sight of his big, round face, screwed up in the effort to please, was bad enough, but what was worse was listening to his voice, which was certainly powerful and full of intense conviction, swinging backwards and forwards across the tune without ever quite hitting it. He got extra melons instead. Up in the prayer towers, a flock of crows took off in a hurry. After a full chorus of "He is trampling the unrighteous with hooves of hot iron," Brother unplugged his ears and risked a quick listen. Apart from the distant protests of the crows, there was silence. It worked. "Put your trust in the God," they said, and he always had, as far back as he could remember. He picked up his hoe and turned back in relief to the vines. The hoe's blade was about to hit the ground when Brother saw the tortoise. It was small and basically yellow and covered with dust. Its shell was badly chipped. It had one beady eye. The other had fallen to one of the thousands of dangers that attend any slow-moving creature which lives an inch from the ground. He looked around. The gardens were well inside the temple complex and surrounded by high walls. "How did you get in here, little creature?" he said. "Did you fly?" The tortoise stared monoptically at him. Brother felt a bit homesick. There'd been plenty of tortoises in the sandy hills back home. "I could give you some lettuce," said Brother, "but I don't think tortoises are allowed in the gardens. Aren't you vermin?" The tortoise continued to stare. Practically nothing can stare like a tortoise. Brother felt obliged to do something. "There's grapes," he said. "Probably it's not sinful to give you one grape."